Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hello there, little ones. You say your old man dressed up as Santa Claus and can't get his belly through the fireplace? And you hang up a purple bulb on a tree and 3,000 volts go through you? And your brother made an animal cage out of your Erector set and Grandma can't get out? And someone opened a window while you're sorting stamps and all your triangles are flying around the house? And one of your gifts, a strange little shiny box, suddenly takes off and is now circling the earth at 1,200 miles an hour? Is that what's troubling you, tiny tots?
Well, put your head down low and take a run in the snow with that devil-may-care Christmas spirit. For the whole world singing that happy song, merrily we roll along. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That sled!
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
So how are you holding up?
I'm okay. I'm a little weary, but I'm all right.
And it's not the holidays, necessarily.
No, they're not helping matters much, but they're not the primary cause of my exhaustion.
You're doing yeoman's work here
at
the Chicago's Progressive
Talk. I am. I'm doing the work of two people these past week.
Cut Heather some slack today.
It's
Cut Heather Slack Day.
Yay! I like.
All right. There you go.
But yeah, no, my check will be happy though because the overtime has been.
How nice.
How nice. Woo-hoo! Exactly.
Even better. Let me give you a couple of elves.
Right. So who knew elves got overtime? Because I'm going to do some power shopping this coming weekend like no one's ever seen.
Really?
So, oh yeah.
See, here's you're kind of unlucky because you've. No offense, but you got a kid. you have to do the holiday thing, and I don't.
Yeah,
and I don't.
Yeah,
you know,
I love it though.
And besides, I don't have any money this year. Nobody.
Yeah.
Hey, for those of you expecting a gift from me, it ain't coming. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, no such thing. And here's what I will say. I will say, suck it up.
Yeah.
And give some goods like today to the final day
of our food drive.
Of WCPT Holiday Harvest, which is today. If you haven't done it, do it. And you know what? I even wrote this on the website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show. It's quite possible that you could probably sneak in contributions tomorrow or the next day, depending on when.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not
to
that,
whatever.
We're not that humbuggy.
No. we'll make sure they get
it. If you bring us something, we'll get it to the right people.
Yeah. And,
trust me, I'm here all the time. I will make sure someone gets it to the right people.
Because I had two big bags of stuff to bring to the barrel here today, and I left them at home. They're sitting in the living room right now. They're just sitting there.
And you put them in plain sight, so you would not forget them, but still they manage to
and then
just
you walk
right past them.
Yeah, you walk right over. Actually, I walk over them because I put them where I would trip over them. I go, what are these things doing here?
I did that.
I got to get to work. Get out of my way.
Coffee mug at the grocery store yesterday. I put it down to load up the conveyor belt at the grocery store, walked out, got about 10 blocks away, realized my coffee mug was still sitting, and I turned around, went right back and got it. I was like, yeah.
You gotta have your mug.
Yeah.
You know?
Those travel mugs ain't cheap.
And reusable devices, too, so we're not using all
exactly.
the styrofoam
exactly.
and all the paper
it's
cups.
Not a paper cup. It's
and
a,
plastic
I
lid.
I wash it and I reuse it, and it's insulated. It's quite nice. Sadly, it was made in China. I did check that out.
I have my Mila cup, which I take, and Mila stands for Midwest Ecological Landscaping Association, which I founded almost 10 years ago now. And this Mila cup is about 5 years old, and they made them out of these the corn. It's not plastic, but it's like corn plastic. It's
oh,
made
like
out
corn husks.
Yeah, I guess they you know. But I've and it's even the old logo because they change logos. And
I
this
was gonna say I like that logo.
Well, Kathleen came up with this logo.
It's good.
And it's a beautiful logo. It's a cone flower and it has Mila on it. And I take this cup everywhere, and because it's white, the inside of it is nasty.
Uh-huh.
You know, from coffee
yeah.
stains.
Yeah.
I just think that's doing that to my teeth, too. But, you know.
That's why they invented dentists.
I guess so. And sometimes I have time to rinse it out before I go in, and sometimes I don't. I say, just rinse that, but really don't look inside while you're doing it.
I have the sponge on the stick by the sink, so I just wash it real quick with the, you know, rinse it, put it out, and I go.
And I want to make one comment. You know, we were talking about the holiday. And I got an email last week after the show from a woman, and I'm not going to name her by name, and I'm not even going to beat up on her because I understand her completely. She was like, you know, you guys are a progressive station. Why are we hearing all this Christmas music?
Uh-huh.
And she's an atheist, all right?
That's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah. And I actually understand what she's talking mm-hmm. about. And, like, people just get beat over the head with this.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people who don't particularly... go in for the religious aspect of this.
I don't go in for the
this.
Churchy part. There's the more churchy. Santas than baby Jesuses in my house, I'll admit it.
Her whole deal was that Santa equals Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
That it reminds you of the same thing. And she said, why are you guys doing that on Progressive Talk? And my feeling is, well, you know what? Christmas is also a national holiday.
Mm-hmm. It's an international holiday.
There's really not much you can do about it. You're right,
I mean,
it is.
You can go to Germany, you can go to Australia, you can go anywhere around the world, and you'll find people that celebrate Christmas. So it's not just that. But I kind of broke it down in my own personal way, like, because I'm not a churchgoer. I've never have been. Mm-hmm. But I kind of see it as, like, you know, each something special must have happened this time of year many, 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 many years ago. Lord knows what it was. But I break it down into very simple terms. Christmas for me is a celebration of the miracle of birth. Hanukkah for me is a celebration of the miracle of light. Mm-hmm. And Kwanzaa is the celebration of the harvest and family. And I break it down very simply. And I'm like, and if you can't get behind those three things and get together with your friends and your family and just have a good time, then that's on you.
Well, and the other thing is that we get to this time of year in the darkness, and it's a celebration of the end of the darkness because the longest day of the year, mm-hmm. it coincidentally, is the 21st of December. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, oh, wait a second. Jesus was born on the 25th. Oh, well, wait
that,
a second. But
do they
but,
know that for sure, that it was the 25th? Is
no.
it, like, written down? It's like their JC birth certificate
but isn't it kind
around
of, yeah, I know.
There.
But isn't it funny that they'll things kind of coincide with,
yeah.
with things that have been celebrated for millennia
yeah.
and maybe tens of thousands
yeah.
and hundreds of
yeah.
thousands of years. That, light, dark. And,
yeah.
and so, folks, guess what? We make up a lot of this stuff just
yeah.
to make ourselves happy.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
Know? It's just a lot of it
just,
is just whatever's comfortable. And
to help people sleep at night because if there's this, you know, power that's looking down on you or going to save you or protect you or whatever, it helps people answer unanswerable questions and allows them to sleep at night. And that's fine by me.
So I just wanted to acknowledge to our friends, our atheist friends out there, that we get it.
Mm-hmm.
We totally get it. And and I am myself. You know, I'm not a religious guy.
No,
I'm just not. But I will play the Christmas music, but and Hanukkah music, and as you know, on my show, most of it's goofy.
Yeah,
it's going to be. You know, you're not going to get serious stuff here. No, I ain't going down that road. So, to my listener who was upset, we feel your pain. Got your way through the holidays.
I hope she has, you know, some dinner parties to go to and gets
I
gifts
so
from
too.
Friends and
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah. So lots on the show today. Oh, my goodness. We got a lot. In fact, I'll tell you what, Heather, why don't you go get Enrique?
Okay.
Enrique Gonzalez is the 2011 Chicago Gardener of the Year. And he will be on in just a second to talk about his garden. Rick DeMaio weather, bottom of the hour. Barbara Malera from D. Landreth Seed Company is going to give us an update on the attempt to sell a million catalogs and save the historic company. If you've been following that, it's a really intriguing story, and the catalogs are out, and they're beautiful. And I didn't bring mine with me. Not only did I not bring the non-perishable goods for the holiday harvest, I left my catalog at home, too. Nice. Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources Defense Council, who appears on the show from time to time, is here in the second hour. We're going to discuss some environmental issues, and boy, is there a lot going on, from the Keystone XL pipeline to water quality in the Great Lakes, on and on. I mean, I even have a link on this week's show, to an article that NRDC did about Christmas trees and whether you want to choose real or fake and how you take care of them. That's there. And also, at the same time, I got a call. Speaking of getting calls and speaking of getting messages last week after the show, a guy named Dave Zaber, he's an environmental consultant, and I was talking about not burning Christmas trees in your fireplace because of the creosote. He said, well, you know what? Not only that, but there are other chemicals like organophosphates and neonicotinoids and synthetic pyrethroids that you want to be careful of that might be on a Christmas tree. And he's going to tell us a little bit about that as well. And then at the end of the show, we go from serious to a little bit holiday. It's not even holiday. It's gardening sweetness. And you know me, I'm not particularly sweet. It's a magazine called Green Prints. And Pat Stone, who put this together 20 years ago, is going to be on to talk about Green Prints magazine and people who write about the sweet side of gardening. And we will talk about the 20th anniversary of that magazine and the fact that they just won a big Gardener Writers Award this year. So he'll be there. So all of this is going on the show today. Let's start right now with the guy sitting across the desk from me, the console from me, and that's Enrique Gonzalez. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. How are you doing?
Fine. We met for the first time last week, the 2011 Mayor's Landscape Awards ceremony was downtown at the Hyatt Regency. And I mentioned it last week because the community garden in my neighborhood, Green on McLean, won a third place award, and we were very pleased about that. It was really fun, and we brought a couple of kids from the block. We had to draw lots. Two adults and two kids got to come because they only let us bring four people. So we drew lots, and two of the adults and two of the kids came down, and we sat in the big ceremony and got the plaque. And as it's turned out, in our block, since so many people participated and we were bringing the plaque home, and Deshaun asked me on the way back in the car, he says, well, who's going to get the plaque? I said, well, why don't we just share it? And we're going to pass it around in the neighborhood. And so Deshaun kept it for the first week and he brought it back. And now some of the other people, Montserrat is going to have it for a week. We're all going to just pass the plaque around on McLean, and it's really neat. But at the ceremony, and I've even got the program here in the community landscapes. Our community garden was in Region 1. In Region 3, the first place winner was Hoxie Prairie Garden, and the person who is behind that, is sitting here, Enrique Gonzalez. But you also won Gardener of the Year. So first of all, Enrique, congratulations on that. It must be. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. That took me by surprise. I knew about the Mayor's Award,
uh-huh.
but I didn't. I had no idea what was happening. When they announced Gardener of the Year at the end, I figured, you know, well, who's the lucky guy is getting this, you know?
I honestly didn't know.
I didn't know.
That's fabulous.
And then when they announced my name, I was like,
huh? Well, you know, it was kind of funny because I have interviewed the Gardener of the Year probably for a decade now, every year on my radio shows. And when I went in there, I talked to some of the people in the Department of the Environment who are throwing this together. And I said, how can I get a hold of the Gardener of the Year? I want to interview him or her on the show. And they said, oh, yeah, it's Enrique, and we'll point him out to you. And then one of them said, wait a second. I don't think he knows he's the Gardener of the Year, so we don't want to give it away. And it's funny because it was in the program. I don't know if in the back of the program, but you didn't see that part of it.
No, I didn't. But it was, like I said, it was a shocker.
Well, that's great that they had the little secret for you. Now, your garden, the Hoxie Prairie Garden, is on the south side, and it's at 10559 South Hoxie. That's in the Pullman neighborhood?
No, that's in the South Deering neighborhood.
Oh, okay, sorry. I saw an article, in fact, I linked to it on my website today, that was written about this 2 years ago, which in the Tribune, about how you had transformed an area and turned it into a garden. But it sounds kind of like the community garden on my block, which was junk and garbage and, you know, gangbangers hanging out and nasty, and we turned it into a community garden. I've seen the pictures. You were showing them to Heather before the show. Yours is huge, and you've done a remarkable transformation. Tell me the story of that that block or those blocks.
Well, you know, it was an area that had buildings on it. There was a house on the corner. There was like a brick building that housed like three or four different. There was, I think, a shoe repair there. There was a grocery store there. There was another, like a shoe store or something uh-huh. like that. And then on the end, by the alley, there was a two-story building, a home up on top. And on the bottom, there was a tavern.
Mm-hmm.
So the house burned on the corner. The little house burned somewhere around early 60s, late 50s, early 60s. And then the brick building, that started falling apart. You know, they weren't using part of it anymore, and it started breaking away. And next thing you know, it all fell down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it left the tavern. And the tavern had a fire there in 1972, and it just blew up the
That's
whole,
a long you know. Time ago, though.
Yeah, yeah. So in 72, that gets down, and then for the next 25 years, the weeds took over, and it was like a jungle, you know,
uh-huh.
with refrigerators and stoves and car parts and broken bottles and everything else laid out everywhere.
Sounds like most of the lots in the city of Chicago.
Well, yeah, that's true, you know. But so we, in 2004, Glenda Daniel from Open Lands got together with some people from the church, and they wanted to see what they could do, if anything, do something on that corner to
mm-hmm.
take care of it, you know. And for a year, I guess, they were cleaning up and, smoothing it out so they could just, you know, start making these berms and putting flowers in it mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And they did that, you know. One of the girls from Open Lands, Jamie Zaplatage or something.
Oh, Zaplatage.
Zaplatage, right.
Yeah.
She had the design, you know. She made the design of the different area, you know, what's going to go here, what should go here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And the berms and stuff. So she had a big input there. And then
She was the city of Chicago Environment Department,
too.
Yeah. Was she Green Corps?
No, I forget where she was working. I'm pretty sure she was Open Lands.
Oh, was it Open? Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry. You're right. A lot of the people work in various organizations, and you're right. I think she's right. Open Lands.
Yeah. So they had asked me if I could give them some pointers on rose bushes, because my dad had taken over the lot next to our house, which, again, they were dumping there, too.
Yeah.
So we took it over, we fenced it off, and we made a beautiful garden there, you know. Mm-hmm. And he loved rose bushes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me for some advice at rose bushes, and I gave them the advice. And next thing you know, they needed somebody to water, and I wasn't working at the time, so I was the water guy. And then,
the water bearer.
Then people started leaving, and then I took over that, and next thing you know, there I was, you know.
What do you mean? You got sort of left in charge. You suddenly became the boss man.
Right. So then I had guys from the neighborhood, men from the neighborhood. You know, they're all about my age.
Yeah.
And they were helping out. A lot of them were still on board. But I needed to get a younger group, you know, more power.
And how long ago was this that you were
This was in 2005.
Okay.
We had a meeting in March and... A new leadership meeting, so I got...
What did the block look like at that time?
2005?
Yeah.
Oh, the block itself, our block is like...
Well, I mean the garden itself.
Oh, the garden.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, the garden by that time, it was nice. It was clean. Just the berms were there. There were six berms. There was the walkway. Everybody would always cut across to go to Torrance Avenue, where all the stores were,
yeah.
They'd cut through by through there. So there was already a path made in the ground
Okay.
where people kept walking through. You know?
Yeah.
So then with that in mind, I figured, you know, maybe later on if we can get some crushed limestone or cement or whatever, we can make this a permanent walkway.
Sure.
You know. So through this money that we had gotten... raising money through the different organizations or businesses or whatever, we came up with the money enough to make a wrought iron fence around the building, around the property. And then...
Mayor Daley's big thing, he always loved the wrought iron fences. He was a big wrought iron fence guy.
Yeah, so we got that, and then we made the pathway, and we made a patio, and, you know, out of crushed limestone, and then that was it. You know, but then after that, I had figured we have to get, there's got to be a way we can raise money to buy benches, make different things, you know,
yeah.
Make a shed, make this, you know, we need a place, because we were carrying our stuff from home to the garden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a rake, go home and get a rake.
Yeah.
We needed a, you know, whatever.
Well, I got a feeling that a lot of community gardens are like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, in fact, when we were working in our garden this year, we'd always keep track of who brought what tools
right.
so that,
yeah.
and then we did go out and get a few tools, especially for the kids. We had to get some trowels, you know,
right.
and we want them to be able to use them. Mm-hmm. But you have to store them someplace, you have to keep track of them. Yeah,
right.
I understand.
So lawnmowers and stuff, so we took up a collection. I came up with the idea of getting everybody to donate $5 a month between October and March or April.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be $30. I mean, $30 isn't going to kill you. But a lot of people...
That's a lot of money to people, though, people.
But, you know, if you give $3 a month or $5 a month by the end of the 6 months, there you go.
Yeah,
$30,
I get it.
But anyway, we did that, and 2006, we started off the year with $960 that we collected from mm-hmm. that particular collection.
That's pretty good. That's almost $1,000 for a garden, and that can get a lot of stuff.
Right. So we got our tool shed. We got our benches. Green Corps helped us out with a 3-bin compost bin. We were on the roll. You know, we started... I got to meet two ladies from the north.
North is far, you know, in Chicago.
Yeah. Well,
North and south, the twain shall never meet.
Right.
Only on the red line during baseball season.
That's it.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to meet this lady named Ellen Newcomer. She's board member of Openlands.
Uh-huh.
And she's also a part-time, I mean, she's also a full-time volunteer. I mean, she goes from garden to garden, you know.
And she helps you out.
And she helped us out, too. She's been helping us out all along. Mm-hmm. But she goes to a lot of gardens all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of hers, another person who's like that, her name is Corella Payne. Sorry, Corella. And, yeah, she, you know, they're great ladies. I mean, they do a lot of work, you know.
So how many people would you say in the garden are the core of who are the workers, the ones who show up for almost all the work sessions, every work session?
Well, they've changed. I mean, they've changed from 8. We had maybe about 12 at one time way early.
Yeah.
Early on.
So really not that many. You're
no.
talking a handful of people who keep
right.
this thing going.
Right. It's been five and six for the last, since 2007.
Yeah. And it's got to be tough because people who don't know you, you get around with a cane.
Right.
So how much of the actual gardening can you do? Or do you just supervise?
Well, I just supervise now because I go to dialysis 3 times a week. You
uh-huh.
know, and I've been at this now for dialysis since this is my 11th year, you know. But, you know, it's taken away a lot of my I'm active in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I have a lot of energy in the morning. But come, like, noon, I'm done.
Well, I'm glad I caught you at 9 a.m. then, right? Hey, listen,
yeah.
and that's Enrique Gonzalez. He's the 2011 Gardener of the Year in the City of Chicago. Hang on. I want to continue this. I got to take care of some business, and I will get right back to you. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Lost away the old year passes.
Give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, that's me, Mrs. Claus, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Why? No, come on. Let's try it again.
There it goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Did you know that according to realtors, trees can account for as much as 10% of a property's value? In this housing market, you need to consider all of your assets, especially your trees. So take care of them and consider having a certified arborist evaluate the trees before you sell your home or before you buy one. A good inspection involves assessing the trees from top to bottom, analyzing everything that could affect their health, and determining whether they pose a threat to property and safety. An arborist from the Care of Trees will look for disease and harmful insects, will gauge the health and structural integrity of the trees, and will then present a written report noting any problems and recommending corrective measures. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen.
I've been getting dissed by the Twitter people.
You're not getting dissed.
I'm not?
No.
No, not when they say they don't like my music?
Just one person doesn't like your music.
My skinny garden. She didn't like my music, and then she called me on the carpet for when Jesus was born. He was born in the summer, she says. Well, you're not paying attention.
Well,
like you know. Were you there? My skinny garden, were you there? Huh? Do you know? Huh? Do you know for sure?
See, I don't even buy the whole, you know, Virgin Mary. I think he was a real guy and a prophet, but that whole, you know, son of God thing, I'm not sold on it. I'm not.
Say, how much proof do you need then, you know, for that? You've been holding out a while on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
It's just, you know, it's a nice story, but it's Snow White.
There you go.
It's sorry. Lightning bolt going to come get me now or what? No.
It's the Mike Novak Atheist Hour on Chicago's
Happy
Progressive.
Sunday morning.
On your way to church, everybody. Yay! Hey, how about that? We are talking to the Chicago Gardener of the Year, Enrique Gonzalez from Hoxie Garden. What's the exact... And I don't have it written down here. Hold on. Let's go back to my cheat sheet here. I gotta have a...
A.K.A. MikeNovak.net?
Yeah, that's my cheat sheet.
Yes.
Yeah,
MikeNovak.net.
So the Hoxie Prairie Garden at 106th and South Hoxie Avenue on the south side.
It's beautiful.
And, you were looking at the photographs.
My chin hit the table. The difference between it was just a vacant, dead-looking lot with faded grass and... tough turf, and now it's lush and beautiful with a walkway, and oh, just beautiful.
So again, congratulations. Why this year? Why do you think? Have you entered the mayor's contest before?
Oh yeah, yeah. 2007, we won honorable mention in Mayor Daley's Landscape Award Program.
Yeah.
And
not Mayor Daley's anymore. In fact, you know what? There's some concern that they might not even do it anymore.
See, that upsets me greatly because
it does.
And you know, let's bring that out in the open. Yeah. Rahm Emanuel did not show up for the award ceremony. The Department of the Environment, which has been putting it on, won't even exist as of January 1st. They sent their chief sustainability officer to shake hands and have photos taken. No mayor. Karen Weigert. And when you talk to people in the city, they speak in hushed tones like, we're not sure we're going to do this anymore. Well, if you stop giving out gardening awards, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, they used to apparently do it amongst, like, municipalities, too, like police stations and firehouses that would get gardening awards, like, each year who had the best one and brought in the community, et cetera, et cetera. They stopped doing that a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And it's sad, too, because a lot of them are really pretty.
Yeah, I'm just saying the gardeners of the city really want to keep doing this. Who knows what Rahm Emanuel will do. You know, I'm not people who listen to the show know I'm not particularly thrilled about.
He'll sell the sponsorship for it, slap the Bank of America sign on it, and be like, hi! That and the bridges, maybe.
Yeah. Did you know, and the thing about the bridges, did you know how cheap those signs went up there for? That was...
I don't know.
The media did not cover that at all. Kathleen...
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yeah, really.
Look at me. I'm stunned.
They're all like, hey, the mayor sold advertising. Isn't that great?
We're on making... And it was like 100-year-old bridge.
It's like $4,000 for a
to
month.
Deface a, you
to
know,
deface a
Chicago
public landmark.
Yeah, okay.
To put graffiti on a public landmark.
No, or plastic.
Good job, pal. You know,
signage.
If it was $4 million, I'd go, okay, do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And what is he going to do with that? Is he going to get the blue cart rolling out?
Yeah, well.
Because it's funny, I was in a blue cart neighborhood about a week or a half ago, and I saw them in the alleys, and I was like, you guys got blue cart. This is amazing. And they were like, yeah, they never come and get them. They fill up, and they sit there for the longest time, and no one comes and picks them up.
Well, those pickups went from 2 weeks to 3 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, and they just kind of, there's dust
on. We don't know what's going on with the blue cart right now. That's another story. Do you have a blue cart in your neighborhood, Enrique?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Neither do I. So, you know. So you were saying, though, that you've been entering and winning some kind of award, and then this year you got the big daddy. You got first place for the garden itself, and Gardener of the Year for you. Wow.
Yeah. We had I had won Gardener of the Year award, but that was through Green Nut Chicago.
Ah, different award, yeah.
Yeah. So this year, when I heard that I went to the luncheon there, the potluck dinner, you were there, weren't you?
No.
No? Okay.
I wasn't,
well,
no.
All right. Well, anyway, they had mentioned Gardener of the Year there.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that award was from Green Nut. You know, I never thought it was from the city of Chicago.
Ah.
You know? So when the guy won there, I said, okay, well, at least I didn't get anything here. But one of my guys won Youth Gardener of the Year Award through Green Nut. So, and then I met the guy who got the Gardener of the Year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that was a total surprise.
Glad they pulled it off on you and you were surprised. And I want to thank you for coming down to the station. I'm sorry. There was a little miscommunication here. Enrique didn't know that we're live. He's saying this. So when is this going to air? Right now?
Wow.
But that's okay because friends of yours who didn't hear this, I do podcasts. And I will have that posted on my website. So those of you, your friends who have computers, can listen to the interview on the podcast.
Okay.
So we'll do that. And leave a couple of those photos. I want to pop a couple of those. You said you had a couple for me there?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before I let you go, are roses the thing you do best, do you think? What is it about gardening that you feel most successful at?
Well, the roses for me because my dad used to love roses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he passed, I took over the rose bush garden at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So then they sold the house next to me. I mean, they sold the property next to me to make a house, and I had to get everything out of there.
You dug up the roses?
So I dug up all the roses, and I took them to the lot.
Some of them had been there a while, you know roses, some of those will send those roots down.
Right.
I mean, that must have been, did you have any help with that?
Yeah, I had a few guys helping me.
And how many of the roses survived?
All of them.
Oh, you're good. What can I tell you?
All of them.
You're good. But roses are actually, especially the shrub roses, are pretty tough plants, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, I got some climbers that are really spectacular.
Well, let me ask you a question for our listeners, because we've had this on the show before, asking about winter protection. What do you like to do for winter protection for your roses?
I just put a bunch of mulch on them, you know, dry leaves around them, and just pack them up. You know,
mm-hmm. and then you cut them back in the spring to where the canes have died back.
Right, all the dead stuff I get rid of it in the spring.
Yeah,
I notice a lot of people do that in the fall, just cut them down.
Yeah,
the only bad thing with that is that in the spring, whatever you cut down, there could be dead stuff on that.
Yeah,
and then you cut more, and then the next thing you're done with, you're left with a little couple twigs. You know, whereas if you left them high. And then cut them in the spring.
Right.
Then you'll have a bush.
Right. Because you really, like you said, I think it's really smart to cut them back in the spring because then you can see where it's died back to.
Right.
And then you cut to that point.
Right.
And then you don't lose as much
if you have a climber and you already got it going, you know, like halfway up a trellis or something.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut it down in the fall. Next year, it might just get halfway up that trellis. You know? But if you already got it up halfway up the trellis and you wait until spring, cut off the dead stuff, it'll make that it'll go across the trellis.
Yep.
You know,
so
get longer.
There's advice from the guy who does it right, the Chicago 2011 Gardener of the Year, Enrique Gonzalez. Thank you so much for coming over to the studio and we'll share a couple of those photos with me before you leave, and I'll make sure they get posted on my website.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening?
Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
You can say there's too much kielbasa, but as for me, but it's a...
I don't think there ever could be too much kielbasa. I'm sorry.
Not my dad's kielbasa. I mean, my dad made the best kielbasa in the whole world, and he would he'd stuff the pig guts himself by hand. And I
don't want to know what it's actually made of. I just want to
eat
it.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because, you know, and he would put all this great stuff, including tons and tons of garlic in there. But he always said the secret ingredient was the dirt under his fingernails.
That's where you get your love of digging in the dirt from, eh?
You betcha. Mm-hmm. You betcha. With
kielbasa, isn't that blood sausage?
No, blood sausage is actually different from kielbasa. Oh. Yeah, yeah. There's the kielbasa and what did we call? What was the blood sausage? The name.
That doesn't sound appetizing to me whatsoever.
But I like the blood sausage,
I do too.
It's good stuff. So.
I had this one Belgian sausage called a tripe. And when it was cooking, it smelled awful, just awful. Like, I'm like, you're going to really eat that? But then when they made me try it, it was spectacular. It was so good.
And on that note, and as we wave goodbye to Enrique, let's go to line one and bring in Rick DeMaio, meteorologist extraordinaire. Are you a blood sausage kind of guy, Rick?
No, Mike, because I remember working in a deli at Key Food Supermarket in Richmond Hill, Queens. And Richmond Hill, Queens was basically the borderline between an Irish Catholic neighborhood and a very, very prominent Jewish neighborhood. So we actually had two different types of deli. The regular deli.
Sorry.
Someone forgot to turn off their ringtone.
And you might as well answer it. It's Barb calling for some reason. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. We actually had two different delis. We had the regular deli and the kosher deli. And, of course, you had a different slicer. And I'll never forget when someone came in and said, I want the blood sausage. And what was the other thing? It's like it's a whole bunch of chopped up animals put into a gelatin, you know, compost. And, what was that? Blood? Something else with blood in it.
I know what you're talking about. And I remember the name of the it's Kishka. Kishka we would have as the blood sausage.
Oh, is that what it is?
But yeah, I remember my mom would fix it, and then I would just smother it in ketchup, which is what I always do. It's just smother it in ketchup.
You know, I mean, there's two things in life that makes everything taste a lot better: ketchup and alcohol.
Yeah.
Actually, last night I went out and had, believe it or not, I had Old Fashioned. When was the last time you had an Old Fashioned?
I don't know that I've ever had an Old Fashioned.
Oh, it's a great holiday drink. In fact, when I was listening to the beginning of your show, and Heather was talking about how a rough time she's been having, the first thing I thought of was an Old Fashioned. You got to have an Old Fashioned. It's a little bit of bourbon, that crushed, you know. What was that? Yeah,
maraschino cherry with sugar on the... I used to bartend. I bartended my way through college.
Okay, so
and yeah, I know they are good.
And then the waiter actually didn't have bitters, so he added Campari instead of bitters.
I don't know. Heather's laughing.
All of our talk of blood sausages and stuff. Now I've been warned on Twitter that we're going to piss off the vegans.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's all right.
We're sorry, vegans. The tofurkey is good, too.
That's right. But, Mike, any day that we can wake up and look at the sunshine and the bare ground and temperatures close to 40 degrees on the 11th of December, we are in good territory right now.
You know, it's interesting. We had a tiny little bit of snow the other day, and it's still here. And of course, I heard Mike Sanders talking about Carmageddon that happened, I guess, because people weren't ready for that. It got a little slick out there, didn't it?
Well, you know, part of the reason, Mike, we've talked about this in the past, is that first snow usually falls on roads that are untreated. And when you have, you know, snow after snow after snow, By the time you get to the end of December, early January, you don't really have to put too much salt down the roads. All that leftover stuff from the previous four or five events is kind of, you know, on that top, you know, say quarter inch of you know, pavement. And that stuff works really, really well. So in this situation, we had basically nothing in the way of any residual chemicals. And with temperatures in the low to mid-20s, it fell pretty much between midnight and 5 a.m. There were a slew of accidents, particularly on the ramps and overpasses on the southern suburbs. And it's always like that. It seems like people think that they can drive faster or at least the normal speed limit when there's snow on the ground. But, Mike, we don't have to worry about snow for the next, believe it or not, the next 7 days.
You know, it's interesting. You and I have been talking on this show for the last month about that one forecast that...
We're supposed to get more snow.
And then I heard somebody in a newscast earlier this week backtracking on it. They were saying, you know, beep, beep, beep. You can hear them beeping. And how because we haven't had snow so far or much of it, that, we might have to revise that forecast for the winter.
Yeah, and in fact, I've actually taken my snow prediction down about 5 to 8 inches, only because we're approaching the 11th of December. It looks like we're not going to get anything until about maybe the 16th or 17th at the earliest. But this is really not much of a fact that the pattern hasn't panned out, so to say. But we've been in between snow events. There was a decent snow event across Indiana and Michigan. There was another decent snow event out across parts of Iowa into Wisconsin and Minnesota. And, you know, it was a similar type of situation the last 2 years, where northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin seem to be at the epicenter of snow, and places like Minneapolis had about half the snowfall that we had. But then what happened is they got buried in like late March and early April, and it kind of made up for it. So, you know, it's a long season. I always like to think of it as a baseball season, where you have these winning streaks and losing streaks. And it's really hard to go on the rest of the winter based on what you haven't had. But it's not like the pattern hasn't been active. We've just been kind of missing all the snow events, and that's okay in my book. The bottom line is we get right back into a mild pattern beginning today. Tomorrow we're actually going to see rain Wednesday and Thursday. And the next 4 to 5 to 6 days, I think we're going to actually see temperatures above freezing. And today's going to be a beautiful day, and hopefully we won't be ruined by watching the Bears lose to the Denver Broncos, where it's going to be in the 50s out there in eastern Colorado later on today.
And they will. You know they're going to lose that game.
We have a chance here, okay?
Do we?
Tebow's not all that, and a side of fries. I'm sorry.
The team is done.
I want to see Urlacher just pound him into nothingness.
Well, don't we all?
The sad thing is we can't rely on the offense. It's got to be done by the defense, which is the scary
part. And I like to think of whether as a baseball team
Baseball?
He did a baseball season as well. And the caveat is always, no matter how you slice it, our team in Chicago will not get Albert Pujols, okay?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's another thing. But, you know, Mike, it's interesting because we talk about the weather, we talk about the baseball season, even your garden is the same way. You know, you put all this effort into it late March and April and May, and then you can just kind of go, you sit back and you go, okay, I've done with it. And then all of a sudden, by the time you get to late August, you go, wow, look at that. I've never seen that before. And unless you tend to it, and look at all the little parts to it and how the change in the season and what you grew and what the soil is able to give you. You go, you know what, this looks really great in August and also early September and sometimes even early October. So to me, it's a whole 6 to 7 to 8 month process, and it's nice to be able to kind of go through it, you know, week by week and comment on it and look at it. And I guess it's almost like the political primary season, right?
And you sent me, it's interesting that we've gone into such a benign period
right
now, and because you sent me a very interesting website, and I'll tell you what, Heather, I didn't get this on this week's show, so take that URL and let's post it on Mike Novak, the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. And it's from NOAA. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and it's Extreme Weather 2011, lists all the things, starting with the Groundhog Day blizzard, the Midwest Southeast tornadoes, and on.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mike, the interesting thing is, we didn't really have too active of a hurricane or tropical storm season, yet we've had 11 weather events this year, that have produced $1 billion in damage. And I actually went to a seminar recently that was sponsored by an insurance company talking about how, you know, reinsuring and trying to figure out how to produce insurance quotes and claims and try to figure out who's at risk. It was very interesting. It's becoming more and more of a business rather than a science, which I hate to see weather do, but it is part of the whole, you know, way that we kind of go through life these days.
Yeah. Oh, so I hate to cut you off. Let's get that forecast here, because, and I'll tell you what, I will post the billion-dollar weather events that you sent me on my Facebook page, so people can take a look at that. But
looks. I know you got a guest in the city you got to get to, but the weather's pretty much cut and dry, Mike. A lot of sunshine today. High temperature up to near 40 degrees. Normal high is already down to about 37. For tonight, mainly clear skies. I know what to do as far as with this kind of weather is nice. Over that low temperature in the low to mid-20s, and then it looks like temperature is most likely in the low 40s tomorrow with some clouds and then rain during the day on Wednesday, actually Tuesday and Wednesday, and maybe even close to 50 degrees Wednesday and into Thursday as well. So over the next 4 to 5 days, Mike, above normal reading and rain for the middle part of the week.
Okay, and chances of a white Christmas?
Oh, brother. we'll hold off on that till next week.
Okay, that sounds good. Rick DeMaio, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net. His link is up there. We will talk to you next week.
Okay, Mike, take care.
You too. It's the Mike Novak Show. We should get Barbara. Why does Barbara keep calling me on my cell phone?
I don't know, but why haven't you turned the ringer off?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that either. Here's why, because it's my alarm clock, too. If I don't have the ringer up, then I don't get here.
Well, hon, you're awake now.
That's true. And then I forget. But I didn't expect her to keep calling me on my cell phone. We're going to get Barb Malera on the phone from the D. Landreth Seed Company, get an update. The catalogs have gone out. And I told Barb, they said, we got to do something in the middle of December, because if you're looking for a gift for somebody, give the gift of food, which is to say seeds, which is to say the D. Landreth Seed Company. In fact, let's go to Barb on the phone right now. Barbara, why do you keep calling me on my cell phone?
Because I love you, Mike.
No, I know.
Keeps us on our toes.
I'm in the bowels of the Norman Vincent Peale Church in New York City, and I didn't know whether they were going to get cell phone reception here.
Ah, so you were testing it out, huh?
Yes.
How's everything going?
Well, because you've been our most loyal supporter, I'm going to break the news on your radio show.
Whoa, we've got yes, what's going on?
If two things happen, we are going to make it. Here's what's going on. With all the catalogs that have gone out, people have seen how astonishingly great the catalog is, and the orders are pouring in for subsequent catalogs. A lot of people in Chicago ordered one, and when they saw it, they're now ordering 3 or 5 or 6 for their friends. If that continues, and the second thing that's happened is a lot of people, once they got the catalog, have begun to order seeds. If they continue to order catalogs and they continue to order seeds based on the numbers we have now, we're going to make it. And you, Mike Novak, and Heather have helped to save America's oldest seed house.
Yay!
Wow.
Congratulations, you two. Now, please, your listeners, the orders for catalogs have to continue at the rate they're going right now, and the orders for seeds have to continue. But at the rate they're going now, we've made it, and I can't thank the two of you enough. The other thing I want to say to the two of you, Mike and Heather, it's because people trust and respect you so much and what you tell them that they took a risk with a little company they've never heard of called Landreth. And because they trusted you and took that risk, an important part, in my opinion, of America's history has been saved. I can't thank the two of you enough.
We're just trying to help out. Yep. And there's a lot of people that have
got to do the right thing.
Yeah. And so the pitch I will make right now is, and the reason, Barb, you and I talked, a few weeks ago, and I said, we got to do this again in the middle of December. Because this is the point where a lot of people are going, well, I got to get a gift. I don't know what to gift. Mm-hmm. And as you say, the catalogs have gone out. I have mine. My friends have theirs. They're gorgeous. This would make a terrific gift. It's $5. And you send it to your friends. And then your friends who like to grow vegetables, of course, and even those who don't, will probably enjoy just flipping through the catalog and reading some of the stuff that is in there from years past. You've got things from over 150 years ago in there.
That's right.
And so it's a part of Americana. And I say, you're panicking over a gift. This is where you do it. You go to D. Landreth Seed Company. You can find the links on the Mike Novak Show Facebook. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net. You can just go to your website, which is, Barb?
LandrethSeeds.com.
LandrethSeeds.com. I don't care which you go to. You know, obviously, I love you to fly by my Facebook page and like me while you're at it. But if you just go to LandrethSeed.com, give it.
I just shared their Facebook page on the Mike Novak Show page on Facebook, and I'm going to put that up on Twitter as well, so people can go and
also,
click.
And also, Mike, for a lot of your listeners that don't do computers, the telephone number is 800-654-2407. Once again, 800-654-2407, because you have a lot of listeners that don't do the computer.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's true. You know, a lot of people listen to the radio still don't have computers, and I don't get it, but that's the way it is. Give me the number one more time, Barb.
Okay, 800-654-2407.
All right, and the catalogs are going out, and if it keeps up, and we're saying, and that's the caveat here, if it keeps up, they're going to make it, and the company is going to survive. And it's a beautiful catalog, beautiful seeds, and thank you so much, Barb. Barbara sent us 100 seed packs to give away in our food drive, which I am doing, and I'm just so grateful for that. That was just wonderful, Barbara.
Well, you're welcome. To the two of you and all your listeners, I know you can't say this, but I can. Merry Christmas. To those who don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, and may the 2012 New Year be the best of all for all of us.
Well, actually, we can say that.
Yes, we can.
You know, Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and if you don't want to celebrate anything, just buy some seed catalogs, okay?
There you go.
All right. Barb, have fun at the church today, and we will be talking soon.
All righty. Take care, guys.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Stick around for the second hour, environmental stuff.
Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees.
Oops.
Here he is again.
Oops.
Mike Novak.
Oops. Sorry, didn't quite get that.
Whoopsie.
All. Yeah, you know, credit where credit is due. We got tweeted that Mr. Brown Thumb kind of got this rolling in Chicago.
For Landreth Seeds. That's very true.
And that's where I found out about it when I saw a post that he had put up there. So he is kind of the prime mover on that, and what I've done is just sort of follow through and try to keep the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. We also had a question online about
if you order a catalog now, will you get it by Christmas? We're not 100% sure. I'm trying to find that out, but perusing their website, what you can guaranteed by Christmas is gift certificates, Landreth Seed Company gift certificates. You can get them if you call the 1-800 number, again, which is 1-800-654-2407, or go to their website, www.landrethseeds.com, and you can get all sorts of great gardening goodies. There's, you know, on top of the catalog and the seeds, there's like gardening tools and gloves and necessities, and again, the gift cards. There's plenty to go around for Landreth this holiday season. So,
yeah, but we've got a message into to Barb.
To find out.
We hope that by the end of the show, she gets back to us and lets us know whether if you order now, you will get your catalog before Christmas. Yeah, that's a good question. I should have asked her that.
You were working within a time frame there, my friend. Don't beat yourself up too bad.
I'm feeling particularly dumb today.
You're just tired.
I am. I've been gigging all week, you know, lots of singing, lots of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. We got to figure out whether we're going to do that, because if we do it, next week would be the day to do it.
Yeah.
So,
Speaking of, are we going to be live on Christmas?
No.
Okay. Sorry, listeners.
I'm just worried, No way.
It's going to be a pre-recorded best of.
We'll have some holiday greetings, and maybe, you know what, maybe we'll record It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life and broadcast it.
That would be fitting on Christmas.
On Christmas
Day.
We can
jazz it all up with sound effects and music and fun
Hello,
stuff.
Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium!
He is a character in
Merry
folks.
Christmas, Mike Sanders! He's sneaking in the room!
I'm sorry, whether you're an atheist, agnostic, or whatever, if you can't get into It's a Wonderful Life at one point and just feel love and joy for your fellow man, there might be something wrong with you.
Now, here's the thing, though. All right,
because just Jimmy Stewart, come on.
I know. What are you talking about there?
It ain't a Philadelphia story, I'll tell you what.
Hello, fellow. You got a place to stay? Hey, you want a drink?
Yes.
I need a couple of good stiff drinks.
What was Rick talking about? Old fashions? I can whip some up.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it now.
Okay.
I could use a Bloody Mary right now.
Ooh, that was my Sunday morning specialty when I was bartending.
But I did get an email from Deb, and she says, Mike, the placement of Jesus' birth on December 25th was put there to replace the pagan celebration of solstice. Bible scholars know that Jesus was born during the lambing season, L-A-M-B-I-N-G, because of the description that shepherds were guarding their sheep. Even if you don't think that Jesus is the Son of God, he is a historical figure. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I get the idea that this Jesus guy...
He was real. I believe that.
I believe he was real, too, mm-hmm. because he affected a lot of people. And it was, you know, it started a movement. People start movements, you know. And this was probably the most successful movement in the history of the planet,
yeah.
You know. We're talking several...
Occupy Chicago wishes they had those numbers,
couple
you know?
Of billion people here, you know. Yeah.
Speaking, though, of green gifts, there is now a green gifts page on the Mike Novak .net website where you can go.
Oh, was that KT?
Yes, it was.
All
and
right,
she
well,
put
and,
together a really
you know,
awesome
and I'm
page.
Glad, thank you, Kathleen, for bringing that up because that was the other thing I wanted to mention in the show today, which is on this week's show. And I'm going to go to the – if you go to this week's show and it says under the headline, want to give green this year, there's a link there. That will take you to a site that Kathleen and I put together about great local gifts and green gifts. And we've got gifts where you can buy a gift and help someone make a better life at the same time, like Bright Endeavors in Chicago. It's a nonprofit social enterprise manufacturing and marketing eco-friendly home and bath products. There's Blackstone Bicycle Works. Youth education program of the experimental station, and it's a full service bike shop dedicated to promoting ecological practices and empowering youth. Blue Sky Bakery and Cafe. There's the Blue Sky Employment Program, provides homeless and at risk youth with employment. There's Inspiration Kitchens, which we've had on the show, had recently, wonderful folks. You know, the idea is they help train people as well. And, you know, take the family to Inspiration Kitchens. And when you do that, you are helping, train people. And then we've got the ones that are globally green, like 10,000 Villages and UNICEF's Gifts That Give Back and the Hunger Site and the Rainforest Site and Ethical Ocean, and then donation. I mean, we got it all. So if you're trying to do something a little out of the ordinary, you know, if you're not one of those people that just goes crashing into a Walmart with a can of pepper spray, this is something you might do. I just find the whole Black Friday concept so disturbing.
Oh, it's awful. I won't even go out. I won't. And then the first...
And yet, the numbers were up big time.
Huge.
The numbers on Cyber Monday were up big time.
See?
And people pat themselves on the back and say, see, we can buy stuff. That's the measure of our country?
No.
How well we buy stuff? That's embarrassing. We're certainly better than that. We got to be better than that.
We can only hope.
So... I wanted to call your attention to that page at MikeNovak.net, the Green Gifts page, which I believe is also, yes, it's on the homepage as well, just under the Holiday Harvest logo. It says Great Green and Local Gifts. You just click there. If you're looking for ideas and you want to be socially conscious, do that. Or buy a catalog from Landreth, D. Landreth Seed Company.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard back from Barb yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I think she had to turn her phone off wherever
and
she was.
And Josh Mogerman is in the studio.
You do have a call, though.
I know. I'm going to get to that. Just before I get to Josh, let's go to Chris in Palatine. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Humbug. Ah, humbug, I say. That is the best Christmas, you know, movie out there, you know, A Christmas Carol, but only with Owen O'Regan.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but you know, and I have one word about Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah,
Harvey.
Harvey was awesome.
Yes. Harvey is the best, you know, out there. And I personally cannot abide It's a Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yeah, well, because, you see, it was on every year when I was a kid.
Well, yeah, I was a kid, too. That's why so many people know about it.
It used to be on, like, 50 stations, but now I believe NBC owns the rights to it.
Yeah, you know the story behind that. You know the story.
No.
Let me tell you the story behind that. See, no, actually, somebody forgot to sign a piece of paper in the 70s.
Right.
And the rights lapsed. Yeah. And the rights lapsed. And so they lapsed for, I don't know, a decade or so. And that's why, all the stations could play it for free. And they were.
And they did.
And they
did.
Mercilessly. All right. And then NBC or somebody figured out that how to get the rights back. And I believe it had to do with the music that is in
Irving Berlin. Is that Irving Berlin?
No,
White Christmas. See, I'm getting my composer stuff.
Yeah, and also Holiday Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Holiday Inn's also. I love that one.
Yeah,
yeah. Love that one.
Yeah. But, you know, as far as the what I did on Black Friday.
What'd you do?
It was a Green Friday.
Yes.
Because I went up to a tree farm in Beloit and cut down my Christmas tree.
Nice.
Good for you. And now I have to ask, though, were they organically grown?
I'm assuming that they are. They have like a... They have like,
No. That assumption is...
So they have 200 acres of trees, and the tree farm has been in business for 63 years, so...
But you know, it doesn't hurt to ask.
It's a couple who's running the tree farm. So
how would you find that out? How would you find out about...
You ask them.
Well, I mean, what if you go to, like, a tree lot and not a farm?
Yeah, well, tree lot, you have good luck.
Yeah.
There's no idea where
I got one once that was spray-painted green.
Yeah,
and
I got home
and every needle on it fell off.
Yeah, that's the first time I moved to Chicago back in the mid-70s, that happened. I mean, they had dyed it. And so that's why the year after that I went out and cut my own and have been doing it every year since like 1978.
Nothing beats the smell of a fresh cut Christmas tree.
And that's the way to get it the freshest.
Also, more importantly, you're helping out the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you keep listening, Chris, because we're going to be talking about trees and the chemicals used on them later in the program. You might learn something interesting. And maybe next time when you cut it down, just ask them, how do you grow your trees? What are you using? And, you know, even... I would say the trade-off is still in favor of live trees, even if they're not grown organically. Because Josh, I'm going to let you go, Chris, because Josh is nodding vigorously. And good morning, Josh Mogerman from NRDC.
Good morning.
It's good to have you back.
It's great to be here.
So you are, all right. Give me your trees versus fake trees.
No, I don't want to step on your guests later. So we'll wait on that. But obviously, from a carbon perspective, there's real value in having a new crop of trees being grown on an annual basis for this. You know, in terms of maintaining a carbon sink, there's real value from that. And you know, we're in dire straits as it comes to climate issues, and every little bit helps. So yeah, from that perspective, it's really helpful.
Yeah, if you can at all do it, get a tree that was organically grown and didn't use synthetic pesticides and synthetic fertilizers, for that matter. The next best, all right, just get a live tree. And if you can get one, you know, chop it down yourself, so then it's, you know, I don't know if those tree farms ship stuff. You know, you wonder what happens to all the extras. Obviously, you hope they're ground up. And but too many trees end up in alleyways, and you would hope that the when they pick up refuse, they throw those aside and grind them up and turn them into mulch. I mean, you can do that specifically at the end of the season. Most municipalities will, as certainly City of Chicago does, has a program where you take your tree and they chop it up for you. But there's the live tree is so much better than the fake one. And I actually I remembered this morning when as I was coming in, Josh, to post the link that I found at the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council site, where you guys put together a page about it's called The Tree Choice, Care and Decorating Tips for the Holidays. So it talks about cut trees and live trees and wreaths and lights and decorations and recycling and all that good stuff. So, but again, I don't want to spoil it for our guest later on. But Josh is here because we have been communicating. And I have to admit, things come up and I want to cover every single environmental issue that comes up, and I find sometimes whole show goes by and I haven't really talked about it. So then I have to make up for it by bringing Josh down here so that he can whoop me upside the head with a rolled-up newspaper.
A recycled rolled-up newspaper.
And one of those issues – all right, there's two. You want to start with Keystone or do you want to start with Great Lakes water quality?
Your choice. Let's make sure to talk clean coal too.
And clean coal, yeah. And I.
Wait,
oh my!
Isn't that an oxymoron, clean coal?
Let's start there.
All right.
Because we are in the suspended veto session in Springfield right now. The veto session started. Now they've gone home for the holidays. It's going to come back. But in the first part of the veto session, a very bad thing happened, as far as I'm concerned, which is the Senate voted to approve a coal plant. Tenaska, tell me about that.
It's the Taylorville Energy Center. It's being billed as a clean coal plant, despite the fact that if this thing gets built, it will be one of the state of Illinois' top 10 carbon emitters. But I think probably more importantly, and something that I think everyone who's listening should be aware of, because this will affect every person in the state of Illinois, this is another General Assembly boondoggle. It's another kind of playing favorites thing where the General Assembly has a bill that will not only allow this thing to be built outside of the normal regulatory process, but more importantly, they're being given a sweetheart deal that guarantees them profits for the next 30 years. And that profit obviously will come from you and me and local governments and businesses. It's a guaranteed revenue stream.
How does that happen? How is it that the average citizen, the citizens of Illinois, get sold down the river? I mean, didn't we go through this in Chicago with the parking meter deal where we're locked in for 75 years? Now we're locking in for 30 years to a company that is just going to pollute? And how is it that, as you say, they're talking about clean coal? All right, stop right there. Heather, Josh, let's repeat this together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as clean coal.
There is no such thing as clean coal.
There is no such thing as clean coal. One more time.
And you'll get it in your stocking if you're naughty.
Yeah, it's just like, you said it's going to be even more polluting. Why is it? Where's the technology? Where's the clean coal part of – where's the clean part of this?
Well, as you said, there's no such thing as clean coal. This thing is – this is a more advanced plant. It's a IGCC plant, which is supposed to create a cleaner stream. And I haven't seen the numbers for their sulfur and a lot of the other very harmful things that come out of your typical coal plant. But from a carbon perspective, this plant an 800 megawatt plant that actually will knock a 600 megawatt plant out of the top 10 list, the Waukegan plant that many of your listeners have probably seen and know is not state of the art. It's a smaller plant. that is actually cleaner from a carbon perspective, which is massively frustrating. This new one comes with a $5.7 billion price tag, and you and I are going to be paying for that for more than a generation.
Who wins here? Who's the politicians who are getting their pockets greased or hands palms greased by the coal industry? Who wins? I mean, I assume that the coal industry would say jobs. I'm sure at the end of this someplace is somebody saying jobs.
You know, we've heard that over and over, and this is a question that everyone listening needs to be asking their representatives in Springfield, because this is not the first coal plant that this General Assembly has pushed forward. Let's not forget that earlier in the year there was the discussion over the Leucadia plant, which would create artificial natural gas out of coal. And it has the same kind of sweetheart deal, forcing utilities to buy this at an elevated rate that you and I will pay for. And that was the call. It was, hey, there's 1,000 jobs on the southeast side of Chicago, even though those numbers look to be far from rock solid.
And what's the status of that at the moment?
That passed.
The General
Assembly gave them a sweetheart deal. So this
now,
is...
Now, here's what I've heard. My sources tell me that the governor accepted that because he believes the EPA won't approve it, so that he can play both sides, which is to say he looks like he's a jobs guy because the thing got passed, but he knows that the EPA will never approve it, so it won't get built in southeast Chicago. Have you heard that?
Well, it relies on some leftover pollution permits from a previous owner of the lot, and that seems to be patently irregular, if not illegal. And there are questions about whether this thing will move forward. But I think the question that we need to be asking our representatives in Springfield is, what are you there for, and who are you looking out for? We've had this go through in terms of dirty energy projects. We've had the Leucadia thing go through. We've now had the Tenasca thing pass the Senate. It still has to be approved by the House. We had a similar big power holdings facility for downstate, and we had even though there were some very very good parts of the ComEd bill, we had that go through. There are real questions about why the General Assembly is stepping in and usurping the normal regulatory process for really, really difficult, really, really expensive and important energy issues that are going to be affecting the state for decades to come. I mean, we're talking more than a generation, these decisions that are being undertaken, you know, really quickly. People are given an hour to vote on these things.
Yeah, and one of the things I am beginning to understand late in life is that on a national level, people tend to understand the issues because they get hammered again and again and again in the national press. On a local level, you tend to understand the issues because it affects you locally, whether it's city of Chicago or whatever municipality you're in. Where the gap is the state level. I don't think people really follow the legislature. They certainly, you know, Springfield seems like it's far away. And these decisions are made, and then suddenly we have these stupid laws that have been passed, and we say, well, how did that happen? Well, guess what? You weren't paying attention, and the media weren't paying attention. A lot of people, and often when I'm researching things from this show, I will go online and try to look up the issue, and so I can put a link or two on my website. Often, I find that Trib's not covering it, Sun-Times not covering it. Some downstate newspaper in Peoria or Carbondale has got a story about this issue that I think is really important and people in the city of Chicago should know about. But it's not there. I can't find and do you find the same thing, Josh?
Yeah, well, you know, the Trib and the Sun-Times have people in Springfield. They have a Springfield bureau, but it's a person. And so more often than not, these issues, in the case of the Tribune, there is a reporter, Julie Wernow, who is in the business pages, and she goes down to Springfield as often as she can. I talk to her from time to time, and she does a good job keeping on top of this. But it is harder and harder to rely on cash-strapped major media organizations to follow this stuff. They just don't have the resources to be down there and following every issue that's at play in Springfield all the time.
So how does this get covered? So how do people know? I mean, obviously, you guys cover it to some degree. One of the ways these issues get covered in the 21st century are the e-blasts that you get from various organizations. But I can tell you, being a guy who gets a lot of e-blasts, they start to blur. You know, they all run together and everything is just as important as the next. Everything isn't urgent. You got to sign this petition, send us money. And then you begin to tune out. How do we, you know, it's and the responsibility just gets, it seems harder and harder. And I mean your responsibility as a citizen, the citizen to pay attention, to know what's going on. So, as you said, the Senate, state Senate, we're talking here, has passed this Tenasca so-called clean coal bill, which is not clean coal. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as clean coal. I'm going to keep saying that. I'm just going to keep saying that until it soaks in, until it sinks into your heads. But the House has still to vote on it. And I was happy to say I had a friend, and Heather, I'm going to see if I can find this, which somebody sent me a list of the link to who voted on this. And thank goodness my senator voted no. Yay, Delgado. Yay. Good for you, Mr. Delgado. I'm glad you voted no. And I'm going to call my state rep and say, vote no, because this is our last chance. Is there any chance that Governor Quinn will veto this?
I think it's really hard to tell at this point. I think our best bet is twofold, is to reach out to our representatives and let them know that this is an issue that concerns us. And hey, I doubt you have a lot of listeners that don't believe in climate change and are big, strong coal backers, and that's fine. There's plenty of things to really despise about this bill. This sort of sweetheart arrangement that guarantees profit for 30 years is unacceptable and not something that you see on a national scale. And that's not the way to operate an energy sector. That's the way Illinois operates an energy sector. And it kind of gets to the heart of some of the problems that we have in this state.
You know, and I was just looking at the person had sent me the link to how your state senator voted. It's listed on Faith in Place.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting,
mm-hmm.
Heather? Well, did you know that? Did you find that? Because I'm going to show. I want you to put this up here, if you can, Heather. If we can get the list, so people can see how their state senator voted. All right, I need to take a short break. When we come back, Keystone,
great
XL, and Great Lakes water quality. That's Josh Mogerman from the Natural Resources. Actually, go back. Let's see. Wait. Hold on.
You do the thing. Let me play with the buttons,
all right,
okay?
You play with the buttons. There.
Okay.
All right. Josh Mogerman from the.
You're the host, aren't you?
Exactly.
I know.
He pays me to push these buttons, and I don't even get to push them all because he's a control freak. Sorry, I said it.
I'm trying to drive the ship and do everything at the same time. I had some people last week who were listening
to the
show and said, "Stop fussing with Facebook."
Exactly. I'm going to put the link on the Mike Novak Show Facebook page, and we'll go from there. I'll blast it out from there, okay?
Yeah, so you can take a look and see how your state representative voted and get on board right now and call or write and do whatever you can to let your state rep know that you don't want this boondoggle in the state of Illinois. And we'll be back with Josh in just a sec.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Josh is going all techno here in the studio with me. Doom, boom, 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 boom. So here we are on the 11th of December. This isn't exactly panic time for holiday gifts, but we're in the ballpark. So take some advice from your old pal Mike. Get your gardening friends and relatives a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Well, why? In each issue, you learn the do's and don'ts for your Zone 5 garden indoors and out. For instance, in the November-December edition, now on sale, there are articles about the plants that provide winter color in your garden, how to grow microgreens so you can have fresh salads all winter long, which salt products are best for your sidewalk and best for your garden at the same time, which rhododendrons are good for our area, which is a really tough place to grow rhododendrons, in case you didn't know, how to make sure your amaryllis plants are spectacular, even if you don't know what an amaryllis plant is, and more. Yes, Heather?
I've killed several amaryllises. So I need
after
that
they
magazine.
Bloomed or before they bloomed?
After, and then apparently you're supposed to put them in a paper bag and put them in the closet for 6 months, and mine started germinating out again through the bag, so I brought it back out, and yeah, I killed it.
It's alive.
Very
actually,
much
you,
so.
You're supposed to plant them. I'll talk to you about
okay.
how to do that. Well, okay. There's even my column on the inside back page. It will teach you, well...
How to not kill an amaryllis?
No, it's just there on the inside back page. Give the gift of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine this year to subscribe for yourself or somebody else. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com.
Fast away the old year passes.
Oh, my. Give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, Mrs. Claus, that's me, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
Now, you don't get much more secular than Frosty the Snowman on a tuba. That's pretty secular, don't you think?
Keeping it on the low end.
And that's not even a Christmas carol. That is a winter song, right? Thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump. Josh Mogerman from the NRDC is here in the studio with me. Always a pleasure to have him here. I've got a link to his blog site. I guess it's not that's redundant. It's his blog. I'm so old. And it's at the NRDC website, which is pretty simple because that's just www.nrdc.org. All right. Let's talk Keystone. That's the pipeline that's going to bring all that lovely tar sands oil from Canada to Texas. I was reading an article that you sent me about that. And there again, the argument is it's going to create all these jobs. And one of the things that you have informed me of is that, no, it's not really. That's the hype, isn't it?
It's massively frustrating. You're going to be hearing a lot more about that because the Republicans in the House have attached a bill to the payroll tax preservation effort that would move this pipeline forward. And even I think just yesterday, Representative Boehner in his speech said that this would create tens of thousands of jobs, and that's fundamentally untrue. It's been shown from study after study, and even the company that's building the pipeline says we're talking about hundreds of permanent jobs, and most estimates from folks that are not engaged with the industry are saying somewhere under 5,000 jobs total, and that is not worth the price that this pipeline is going to inflict.
And what is the environmental price? You've been on the show, and we've talked about tar sands oil before, and part of the reason it's so bad is the process of extracting it is just ruining the boreal forest in Canada.
Yeah, it's a double whammy. This is a form of petroleum bitumen, which is the most carbon intensive oil on the planet, the dirtiest oil on the planet. And beyond the fact that you're creating more greenhouse gases by burning this, you're also eliminating one of the largest carbon sinks in the world by cutting down the boreal forest, which is a big chunk of northern Canada.
Why haven't the Canadians risen up against this?
Well, you know, interestingly, the boogeyman in all of this that we hear from the people pushing the pipeline is, if we don't use this stuff, the Chinese are going to do it. And what they point to is a pipeline project that is being proposed to move to the British Columbia coast. And just this week, we've gotten really good news. The regulators in Canada made basically the same choice as the president has done. They've put it off for a year over concerns related to safety and climate. And so this stuff is currently landlocked. It's not going anywhere. But we need to make sure that our representatives know that we're paying attention to this, because really this pipeline isn't about jobs and it's not about energy security. It's about big oil profits. It's about getting this stuff to international markets where they can get a much prettier penny for it. Right now they're forced to sell their oil at a discount because of some infrastructure bottlenecks. And this pipeline is solely about that. It's about big oil profits. Just a couple years after Exxon posted the largest profit in American corporate history.
And world
corporate history, actually.
Okay. There you go. And another myth is that, well, this is oil for the United States, but it's going to go down to Texas, and then it's going to go all over the world. So it's not just our oil. It's going to despoil. I guess the part of the problem, the question is, where the pipeline goes is aquifer territory out west, and could despoil the aquifers there.
Yeah, there's real concerns about the Oglala Aquifer, which is one of the key resources for American agriculture. We're talking about a huge percentage of American crops that are irrigated by this aquifer, which is uniquely vulnerable to a pipeline moving through it because it is water that's right there near the surface. And as we've mentioned before, this is a particularly dangerous type of oil that has much higher heavy metal content and benzene and an array of other really nasty things that are you generally wouldn't want in your water, nor would you want in the water that irrigates your crops.
And now it's going to be used as a bargaining chip in the negotiations in Washington over the tax deal, the holiday which Mr. Obama wants to extend for another year, and I have issues with in the first place because I think it's a slippery slope that could lead to the destruction of funding for Social Security. But the Republicans are going to want to throw in this pipeline like, no big deal. We need to bargain. Let's throw in this really, really destructive, dangerous pipeline so that you can get yours. And given the way the Democrats work in Washington, I fully expect them to cave and say, okay, yeah, we'll give you the pipeline.
We've heard all the right things from people in Congress and from the White House, but you know, frankly, this is part of the playbook. We saw this last year with wolves being eliminated from the endangered species list. That is something that there wasn't a vote on. Instead, it was stuck in a financial bill and a must-pass bill. And you know, if you care about environmental issues, you need to be watching this debate right now, because this is very much a part of the same issues that you and I have talked about before in terms of attacks on the Clean Air Act, attacks on the EPA's ability to protect public health and our natural resources. This is a very, very dangerous precedent.
Let's take a quick phone call. Bob is in Rogers Park. Hi, Bob. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning, kids. I may have heard too slowly you were talking pipeline, and I was going to chime in with the issue of fracking and sands and
might as well, because that, you know, that's kind of part and parcel of this. It's all this dangerous stuff that's going to pollute our water.
Nothing says the holidays like fracking, and I hear a new sand mine was about to be created just east of Starved Rock State Park, some organization called Mississippi Sand of some sort. Right now, the U.S. Silica facility out there is kicking major butt, working 24/7 digging out sand. But this new facility is going to be built where it's 100% for fracking procedures and not just for railroad brakes and comet cleansers and makeup and all the thousands of other uses this wonderful sand has. And I wonder if there's any way to shake the bushes and say, you're going to trash Starved Rock State Park and turn it into a pick your nasty suburb phrase here.
Yeah. You know anything about this, Josh?
Well, you know, it's an interesting issue that is unfortunately not unique to Starved Rock. If you look all around the Great Lakes, there has been this issue of increased sand mining, particularly in Wisconsin and a little bit in, I believe, Michigan. And there's a lot of people looking at this, trying to figure out what the environmental impacts are. And if there are issues to challenge these, I mean, we'll have to see. As fracking and the natural gas boom has expanded, this has become very, very big business. It's not on the radar. And so I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to really understand what's going on.
Ain't that the truth? Good luck to us all.
Yeah, really. Well, the good luck to us all, Bob, is paying attention, as Josh says.
Absolutely.
And I said earlier, it's like if we stop paying attention, because and it really, to get on my soapbox for a second, it really makes me angry, and I mean truly angry, when the broadcast networks and the cable networks spend 95% of their time on these crazy Republican debates, and who cares, who gives a rip, because these guys are idiots. And then we have all the other issues of the world that get squeezed in or not mentioned at all, and you know, the whole Republican debate thing and all politics, and not just the Republicans, because in the Democratic years, it's their debates. And this is the dog and pony shows, and we're not paying attention. And I blame all of them, CNN and MSNBC, and, well, I don't watch Fox.
Absolutely. And when did the Republican Party become a comedy troupe? I missed that completely. Only need one network to follow that, and WCPT is my pipeline to reason and information.
And that's why we're here, and I'm so glad you listened. Thanks for calling in, Bob.
Be well.
Bye-bye. It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, and Santo, the bus driver's got a quick question about the pipeline. How you doing, Santo?
Life is good.
Great. What have you got for us here?
Well, talking about the pipelines and talking about the coal and talking about all this pollution. I think it was last year, Peabody Coal Company, I think, is taking a big chunk out of the Ogallala Aquifer to pump ground up coal. And they pump it through a pipeline for a couple hundred miles, and they use the water, pure water, to push this coal through the pipeline to deposit it who knows how many hundreds of miles away. What does this guest know about all that?
Know anything there?
I actually don't know anything about that. That's something we'll have to look at. I think what's interesting with the Keystone XL pipeline is, you know, people have been sitting on the sidelines ready to do something related to climate for years now, since the failed effort on the climate bill. And unfortunately, we can't roll back time. We're not able to eliminate some of the real dirty projects that are a problem right now. What we are able to do is stop the really ugly new ones and buy ourselves a little bit of time as we're trying to deal with climate change. And that's really, I think, what the Keystone XL fight is about.
Thanks a lot, Santo. I got to run. We got lots going on here. All right. And before we bring in Dave, who's got some interesting information about Christmas trees, and before this question, apparently I had a woman call in to Heather, and she's really unhappy because she thinks I called her an idiot for not having a computer. I didn't say people were idiots. I'm just surprised that people don't have computers. You don't have to listen to the show if you don't like that opinion. I just don't get it if people don't have computers in the 21st century.
Some people don't want them. Some people want to be off the grid.
Okay.
I understand that.
Okay.
But yeah, don't anger the listeners who want to keep it old school, okay? They still have their radios, they tune in, they listen. Don't make them mad.
Okay, I'm sorry if I made you mad. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't call you an idiot. I just said And she said she was going to cancel her subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Oh, dear.
You got her mad.
I know I did. Okay.
Don't anger the listeners. They're our bread and butter.
And clean Great Lakes, Josh. There are new regulations being proposed for ballast being emptied in to the Great Lakes. And as we know, a lot of the invasives have come into the Great Lakes through the ballast of ships, like zebra mussels and quagga mussels, and what's the goby?
Round gobies.
Round gobies.
Now the most numerous fish in Lake Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
And wiping out habitat for all the... I mean, are the Great Lakes doomed?
They're certainly on a downward trajectory, but there's a lot that we can and should be doing to look after them. In Lake Michigan, we have an ecosystem that's been fundamentally changed by quagga mussels, like you mentioned, that have, you know, the idea of a clear lake sounds really good, but a healthy lake is a murky lake. And quagga mussels, which there are now more quagga mussels in the Great Lakes than there are fish in all of the seas in the world combined.
Get out, really?
Yeah, this is an invasion that I think is unprecedented and also very much not on people's radar. Apparently, if you could walk a mile underneath Lake Michigan, you could walk on a bed of quagga mussels from Wisconsin to Michigan.
Oh, my goodness.
They've just coated and so they are filter feeders. They've filtered out much of the plankton and microscopic life in Lake Michigan. And so as a result, sunlight can pierce all the way to the bottom of the lake. It grows algae. That algae creates conditions that are likely not particularly healthy to people like us, people in general, because it promotes the growth of E. coli and other dangerous toxins. So we need to be watching this really closely. Just like we were talking about with Keystone XL, we can't roll back time. We can't roll back time with the problems we have in the Great Lakes right now, but we can slam the door on new invasive species coming in and making things worse. And that's what these ballast water regulations should be doing. Unfortunately, they're not quite as stringent as we would like, but they're a good first step. It's forcing...
So it's not horrible. They're not really awful...
Well, you know, this is an iterative process, and so we're starting by putting in standards that can be ratcheted up. But certainly, most of the environmental groups that are paying attention to this in the Great Lakes community, and there are lots of them, are pushing for stricter standards, and the shipping industry is pushing back, and we'll see where that goes.
And I'm going to have Heather post this. We're posting lots of articles today on Facebook because it's just I can't get to all of this. NRDC's On Earth website had a really fascinating and disturbing article called Lake Erie Death Watch. And Lake Erie will be the first one to go because it's the shallowest of the Great Lakes.
It is.
And it was a success story in the 70s and 80s. And now we're reversing course and we're going to kill the lake. And it's we'll post this, and Heather, when you get a chance, take a look at that and add that to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook so people can read what it really means when these things are attacking the lake, invasive species. Let's go real quick to line two. I'm still trying to cram a lot of stuff in this show today. Bring in Dave Zaber. Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Dave wrote to me after last week's show because I mentioned creosote in your fireplace from burning Christmas trees. You had a lot more to add than to that. First of all, you're an environmental
toxicologist in ecotoxicology background.
Yeah, a consultant, do a lot of that sort of thing. And what did you sort of reiterate what you told me in the email you sent me?
Well, Mike, first of all, again, thanks for having me, and I've been really enjoying the program as usual. And last week when you were talking about Christmas trees and disposing of them, the issue came up of burning them. And you had mentioned some reasons why not to do that, the accumulation of creosote, things like that. And I wanted your listeners to know that, you know, there's other reasons as well not to do that. And one of them is the use of pesticides, particularly insecticides, on Christmas trees. Many of these chemicals last for months. Some are systemic. They're absorbed into the actual tree. And burning those can release, a host of not only, of the amounts of the parent product, the actual chemical itself, but all sorts of things that are created when you partially burn chemicals. And that poses a risk to consumers, and that's one of the reasons I had written to you.
And some of the things you were talking about are organophosphates. And now, are they, nicotinoids, but are these used on Christmas trees?
Well, there are. There's, a couple dozen chemicals, insecticides and herbicides and miticides, fungicides, things that kill all those pests, that are used on Christmas trees, but not all of them. And, there's some good news. Number one, the trend is for some declines in the use of particularly the insecticides on trees, but a significant proportion is still used for a variety of reasons. Some of these are very toxic chemicals, particularly things like endosulfan or dimethylate. These are endosulfans and organochlorine insecticide. Dimethylate is organophosphate. These are neurotoxins and, very acutely toxic as well as long-lasting. And those are the things that, even if you've got 5-10% of the chemical left on that tree, burning that and coming into contact with that for a prolonged period of time could be a problem. So not to say don't buy live Christmas trees. I think they are, not only from the carbon standpoint, but from a whole host of other standpoints, much more ecologically friendly than baked trees.
But now, you're talking about burning. What about just coming into contact with these chemicals that, might have a residue on the tree?
Well, unfortunately, some of these trees can be sprayed up until the point of harvest. And something like endosulfan can last even on an applicator's hand after washing for, several weeks. So they do last, and some of them do persist for a long period of time. In fact, some of these neonicotinoids, the ones that act on the nicotinic nervous system in the body.
And let's, neonicotinoid, like it sounds, it's tobacco. It's related to the chemical, right?
Well, it's, what it is, it's related to a mode of action which affects a certain component of the human of the nervous system, and not only humans but other animals, obviously insects.
Yeah.
Extremely toxic to bees, extremely toxic to aquatic life. So, so you want to be careful. You don't want to get in contact with those to the extent possible. So there's a lot of things you can do. Make sure you're vacuuming those needles up and shaking them off. Checking, primarily the preference would be organic trees. The next preference would be no spray, although they're not certified organic.
So you're saying that if they use a systemic that goes into the roots, it's less toxic?
Well, not necessarily. Dimethylate is a systemic, and disystan, another organophosphate. These are taken up, and they last for a prolonged period of time. So burning, again, can release not only the parent product, the original insecticide chemical, but breakdown products and products of incomplete combustion.
Hey, we got to be scaring the heck out of people here just on Christmas trees.
Well, let's not. And that's a very important point. I have a live balsam fir in my house right now. I just pulled it in. Wisconsin, Michigan, two of the largest top five Christmas tree producing states in the country. Significant reductions in the use of many of these chemicals for whatever reason, regulations to phase out certain highly toxic ones, the cost, these are expensive chemicals, and the preference to start to go to a no-spray organic regime because consumers are demanding those. But there's also some other reasons that they're using insecticides. One, to be certified for gypsy moths and to export Christmas trees, you got to spray them. So there's a federal regulatory incentive to continue on the pesticide treadmill rather than pushing to look at alternative methods. And there's lots of people using them throughout the upper Midwest where they're not using the sprays at nearly the level or concentration that they used to be, or eliminating them altogether.
Wow. This is Josh. Josh is just sitting there nodding. You guys ought to hook up. I ought to get you in touch with Dave here.
I will say that I know a couple of the folks that are the Chicago NRDC office. We usually had worked together in the past on protecting our national forests, another tree issue. But you know, let me again reiterate real quick, Mike. Live Christmas trees is a really useful and potentially lucrative way to keep lands in agricultural use that may be pressured to go into suburban use or what have you. And there's ways to do it where you can make money and sell a good product. There's a guy up in Minneapolis who's going up and cutting out small balsam fir on his own property as a restoration technique and then bringing those trees back down to Minneapolis and selling them. They may not be the kind you see in the at the local gas station where everything looks perfectly and they're dyed, but they're beautiful, fresh, organic trees that are helping to fund restoration in the North Woods.
That's a good way to end it on a positive note. Dave Zaber, you and I are going to talk again in the future. You seem to be a font of information, and I'm glad you listened to the show, and I'm glad you wrote me. Just fascinating stuff, a little disturbing, but no reason to panic, right?
Sometimes Christmas can be a little scary, but we all love it. So, thanks so much, Mike, for having me, and I really enjoy the program.
All right, thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you later. The Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk. I got to get to Pat Stone, Josh Mogerman, NRDC. Thank you for dropping by. You're not here often enough. I need to have you here more often because there's so much going on, and I got a feeling maybe we'll do this again in January and catch up on some of the other issues that are happening here.
That'd be great. It's always fun. Thanks.
All right.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If you're wondering what you can do for your trees as we head into winter, we'll keep it simple. Mulch. Mulching is always one of the best things you can do for your trees. It's easy and inexpensive, doesn't require special tools. Mulching moderates soil temperature and conserves moisture in the soil at a time when you're less likely to water your trees. And as it breaks down over the winter, it increases the amount of organic material and activity around the roots that feed the tree. The most commonly used mulching material is wood chips. Spread them around the base of the tree to at least 3 feet from the trunk, or all the way out to the width of the widest branches if you can. Don't make the mulch any thicker than 3 inches and do not allow it to touch the tree trunk. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Pat Stone in 30 seconds.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Well, I had way too much booked on the show, and one of the guys who's going to take us out on a happy note is Pat Stone. How you doing, Pat?
Fine, Mr. Mike, and how's yourself?
I'm doing okay, and Pat is the chief cook and bottle washer for a publication called Green Prints, the Weeder's Digest. See, I got it wrong. The Weeder's Digest with a W, and these are story, and you just won a big Garden Writer's Prize this year. Congratulations.
Thank you. I won the Best Small Garden Magazine in the Country Award. I was very grateful to get that.
That is just amazing. And the reason he did is because these are stories of, I don't know, hope, faith, love. And it sounds a little, but and also goofy. There's a lot of goofy stuff in there.
There's a lot of funny garden stories. You know, there's a reason humorous and humbling have the same word root, because we all make enough mistakes, we might as well learn to laugh at them.
You might as well. And you've been doing this now for over 20 years.
22 years, I've been the only publication sharing the personal side of gardening. We all garden for the flowers and for the fruits, and that's terrific. But we also garden for the personal inner rewards it brings us, and I share those through the stories from true stories from gardeners all over the country and all over the world.
I was looking at your autumn issue, and I was interested. I think it was in the autumn one. You had something from Amy Stewart's.
Yeah, her Wicked Bugs book.
Wicked Bugs, and she was on the program talking about wicked bugs, and it's fun. But and then you have on the Colorado potato beetle and how that got started, or spread around to some degree. Nature started the bug itself. But
I have great stories in there. I had a story in there from a man in Australia who met his wife through seeing how her house had a rundown garden, and he came over to help. I got stories from people who say you can't be vain when you garden, because if you've gotten to the age where you garden for pleasure, you've gotten to the age where you don't look good in stretchy pants.
and you're always, you know, when you're bending over and you're on your hands and knees in the garden, that ain't often pretty.
Isn't that why the one company we have has the extra long T-shirts?
Yeah, the right.
Mm-hmm.
That was Duluth Trading.
Duluth Trading.
Yeah, it has those long
tail
tees.
To cover the plumber's cleavage.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the kind of stuff you're going to find in there. People who write about, you know, like the cat that they buried under the apple tree, and then suddenly the tree starts bearing apples, which it never had before.
That's right. Tigger apples, a very touching, heartwarming story about a person who cat, what happened when the cat died. That's right.
So I would say you want to have some fun and give some fun to your friends. Go to greenprints.com, P-R-I-N-T-S. You can order there, and there's a great deal for the holidays, 5 issues at the price of 4. Do it. Pat Stone, I'm sorry that we didn't have a little more time, but I will continue to plug this for you and let people know.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's great to talk to you again.
Great talking to you. Take care, buddy.
All right, same to you.
That's it for this week. One more show, and then Christmas, and go green or
go home.
See ya.